Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, and Dennis, and Bill, and Brian, and David,
and the other Bill. Ladies and gentlemen. That's bizarre.
This is episode number 213, and here in a little bit, we're going to have Brian Six and Crash Mars from the Motley Crue tribute band Wrecking Crew. But before that, we got some shenanigans, I guess. I don't know.
They're from Detroit.
They're from Detroit Rock City.
Detroit, Michigan.
But they don't play that song.
Oh, I posted it on our page the other day, so people have already seen it. But that Post Malone shit was really good. Did you see that?
Yeah.
No, Post Malone did that tribute, that Nirvana tribute.
No.
And him
Post
and,
Malone equals Skip.
No, you need to listen to it. I know you're not a big Nirvana fan either, but it was him.
No, that's even better.
And the who's the drummer from? Gosh damn it!
That was Dave Grohl.
That drummer from that one band. Yeah, we know.
No, he's a. He's a real famous. He's got a lot of tattoos and shit. Not Tommy Lee.
Travis Barker?
No. Yeah, there you go. Travis Barker. It was him and, like I said, Post Malone and then two other dudes, and they're at Post Malone's house, and they're drinking beer and smoking cigarettes, and they're
socially distancing.
About 45 minutes. They raised $3 million, dude.
That's pretty cool.
It is cool. And a dude, you know, I don't – so as soon as I
– They raised $3 million for what?
For the – for – helping with the virus or whatever.
Keep doobies alive or?
No. And then I think on top of that, then somebody matched it with one of the Google or somebody. So they ended up, it was like 6 million or something. It was crazy money that they raised. But anyway, but it was funny. They were going, hey, we just got a $6 trillion donation. You know, it was actually really funny. So then, you know, after doing that, and I've seen a couple of videos with Post Malone talking about guitars. He's at that guitar shop, and he's looking at these old guitars. The dude can really play music. I mean, that's what's so interesting about the guy. But then I went to Spotify. I was like, well, let me get his music a shot. Man, I couldn't make it through one fucking song. I was like, oh.
Well, you know. Yeah, I want to interject something on that, and I made a comment on that post about it. You know, there's a lot of musicians, you know, look at Eric Church. That dude's a rocker. He loves Alice in Chains, but he plays country music.
Right.
You know, Post Malone, he's a young metalhead. He's a really good singer, really good musician, but he plays whatever genre of music that is that he plays.
EDM. Right.
But, you know, the thing is these people – you know, you either want to play music or you want to get paid to play music.
Right.
You know, and that's why my guess would be that he does the music that he does is because it pays a lot better than the shit you and I are going to play in a bar.
Right. Well, he even made a comment because I was, as soon as I listened to his music, I go, well, yeah, because he even made a comment. He goes, you know, hey, I'm singing the best I can today because, you know, we're doing, trying to do Nirvana. But he says, you know, this is the first time he says I've ever sang without auto-tune. I mean, he flies out, says it.
You know, his music is all electronic. It's all. Yeah.
See, I didn't know. I had never really listened to it. Afterwards, I'm like, oh, yeah, he got that right.
Bill, you sounded like a vacuum cleaner with auto-tune.
Yeah, exactly right. Sucked.
Yeah, no kidding. But anyway, man, my glasses are on.
Thank God for Motley Crue.
There's a Hoover joke. Yeah. There's a Hoover joke in there somewhere.
Somewhere there. Or thank God for the Wrecking Crue. That's what we got to thank God for today.
But anyway, I just thought that was neat. I did post it online.
So, you know, it just occurred to me, we did a show a long time ago about the Wrecking Crue.
Right.
And we now did. We're doing
that was one of our very first shows.
With the band Wrecking Crue. And they have absolutely nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do. Nothing. Guarantee you, if you ask the gentleman from Wrecking Crue about the Wrecking Crue, they may not know what we're talking about.
I think you might be wrong. I think at least one.
It'd be cool. It'd be cool if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Anyway, anybody got anything interesting?
I got a couple albums real quick. Can we run through those? Because we haven't done that for a while.
I just play them. I wouldn't run through them because you're going to break them if you run through them.
This one here, Bill will like. I got the Whitford St. Holmes.
Oh, I have that.
And I thought this is one that you have. This yeah. is actually too.
It's a good record.
Promotion only copy. So
oh,
it's
cool.
Really good shape. So
that's a good record, man.
Got the good gold stamp. I saw that right off the bat, and I'm gonna listen to that one definitely. Kind of rounding out my Boston. Got Boston Third Stage. Not one
that's
of my favorite.
That's a good looking cover. That's a VG Plus.
Yeah. Well, I just finally peeled the sticker off. Like, Lord. But
every time I look at a record now, I look at it and go, is that a VG, VG Plus? Yeah.
But actually, Amanda, We're Ready, The Launch, Cool the Engines. I mean, that's a good thing.
That's the third record, right?
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is. But so anyway, I've got that rounded out now.
That one came out when I was in high school.
I think I only have the first one.
Yeah, I've got both. I've got Don't Look Back, Boston, and I got Don't Look Back.
So you got both the first ones?
And then the third one, which is Third Stage. And then I picked up Doobie Brothers, Minute by Minute. I know some of you people don't like Whatchamadoodle, but I'm just, I'm going to.
I actually had
that. Clock?
Is that
the clock?
That's a clock. Check it out.
Yeah.
I actually had that picked up and looked through it, and Lisa checked it out, and it was like all scratched up.
You see, it's got the clock in Michael McDonald's nose.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's my minute by minute clock.
My friend
Art Woodward, who is a huge Doobies fan, who's right. not a huge Michael McDonald fan, made right. this for me.
Well, there's a lot of people like that. They don't. They
yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I need to bring it off the wall because the battery's dead.
So yeah, I did pick up a real nice copy of that. Got that for about $4. I spent $20 on out.
Yeah, it was $4. Yeah, I think that's what it was when I saw it too. It was like
$30. So, and I did pick up this one, and it's a little not torn, but a little ragged on the album's real good shape, but the cover is pretty messed up. But I did get a copy of Killers, Alice Cooper Killers.
Oh, yeah, that's a little. So it's got a little wear on it.
It's got a little bit of wear on it, and but the record's real nice shape. But I got it for $8. But, so those records that go pretty, pretty much anyway. But Under My Wheels, Be My Lover, Dead Babies. Some great songs. Desperado's on there. I like Desperado a lot.
I got an Alice Cooper Bidding War the other night on an auction.
Oh, did you?
Which one? Over Inside Out.
Oh, that.
Or From the Inside, whatever.
That live one that I got, you mean?
No.
Oh. No, From the Inside.
On the Inside. The Yeah, that was the second show. That's the tour that the second show that I ever went to see.
That's one I got, yeah.
Yeah, we got finally. I was like, when it got up to $25, I was like, nah, I'm not gonna do that. $25.
That's what I got. Shipping,
because then you have to watch the whole show to see if you can get another album on there to throw in the box so that you end up can reduce the shipping cost. I'm like, yeah, forget it. This dude was like going up by $2. I'm like, okay, forget it. We're just done.
Yeah.
But I did watch one last night. There were some people buying some Kiss stuff on there that was some bootleg stuff from Germany, and they were paying some ridiculous, stupid.
I think a lot of people, because of everybody's been kind of locked in and nobody's really can't go out shopping, the auction prices have been a little bit higher than normal. I think
there's been some crazy stuff on there.
There has been. And they're Ashley and them's one is tonight, Kathy and Ashley's.
Actually, I haven't watched that for a while. That one just takes too long. It's like
it's getting ready to start.
Move. I was watching one the other night and they go through them a lot faster.
Yeah,
they actually put a timer on, and they're just like.
That's what they need to do on these. They need to get going.
Maybe 3 hours.
I do like watching
for 3 hours.
Yeah, it's long. And then Kathy usually after it's done, and Kathy will stay on a little bit longer. She goes through pretty quick. That's where I bought those two Alice Cooper. She waited the last part of the night, and I bought those. But anyway, I'm just glad to see that some are coming back up. There was a music store in our town that didn't make it. I was talking to the guy down at the book broker today. Hard copy went out of business in the mall. Now, get this. So they're just reopening the mall this week, okay? Monday, they're back open, and they closed on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why didn't you close a month ago when you're still paying rent on the place? I don't know why they waited to the last, didn't open back up. It's kind of odd.
I wondered about that, and I wondered if maybe the mall didn't pull some kind of shenanigans and try to jack their rent up.
And that may be too, because he's got another store.
I had a friend that had a store in the mall, and when the mall decides to jack your rent up, you're screwed. Right. Yeah. You either gonna go for it or you're done.
That may be what he did too. I don't know, but I just thought that was kind of odd. Here, you've been closed this whole time, 7 weeks or whatever, and then all of a sudden, the week that they open up, you close that day. It's like,
well, it maybe too that the money ran out.
Yeah, maybe
because you know the mall. That was a lot of square footage in a mall for an independent, shop owner, not a franchise. Yeah, you know,
they're hard. Anyway.
Yeah, so I'm sure that it was hard for him to keep that going. Yeah.
But anyway,
got to sell a lot of merch for that.
Yeah, you do. So anyway, so that's one less place in town. I bought a few things from there, but every once in a while you find a good
deal. Every time you went in there with me, you bought like four things.
Yeah, no shit. I bought a lot.
The time you went in there and the last time you went in there and said, I'm not buying anything, you walked out with three. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm a sucker.
Okay.
All right. So that's all I got, though. That's all I got for this week.
All right. You got anything, Bill?
I got a whole lot of nothing.
All right, then.
A lot of nothing.
We're going to talk to the guys in the Wrecking Crew. Hey, folks, we've got Brian Six and Crash Mars from the Motley Crue Tribute Wrecking Crew. How you guys doing?
Hey, man.
Good, what's man.
Up? We're good. I'm good.
All right, thanks. Awesome. See y'all later. Nope.
All right. Best ever.
There you go.
Best interview ever, right?
We're in Michigan, so how good can it be?
Well, the only time I've ever been to Michigan is flying through the Detroit airport, so I have no basis for comparison.
It's okay as long as you don't mind being at your house.
Yeah. I've been in Alpena, Michigan. I spent a few days up there on a project years ago. Up in the, if you're looking at the Mitten, it's right up here on the,
the
lake up there. Yeah,
way up
we like Michigan. We just don't like it right now. Under the circumstances, right. But I'm sure we're not alone. So it's,
I don't think you're alone. No. I don't think you're alone.
Not at all.
Well, you might be alone there, but you're not alone in that feeling. I think we're all about stir crazy.
Uh-huh.
It's a little bit insane.
Well, we're here.
When was the last time you guys did a show?
Crash?
March. When was our last show? I want to say March 6th. March
13th.
Before the 13th
or 14th, we played down in Georgia. We played down in Georgia at 37 Main. That was it was the first week, right? I can't remember. Early March.
No, that was the last. Yeah, it was the weekend, Friday the 13th, right? The 13th and the 14th.
Yep. 13th and the 14th.
And then, it was kind of
weird because everything was just starting to shut down and we had to drive from Michigan to Georgia to play the two shows. And I wasn't sure if we were going to get quarantined down there, if we were going to be able to get back. It was really weird deal, but both shows were really good. Full houses, you know, so it was good to go out with the best until we get to do it again, you know?
Yeah, I think we came back and I think it was like that Monday. They're like, okay, lockdown. Like, fuck. Really? But we were happy to get those. It's funny because when we left, you know, people were ready scavenging for stuff. And I, you know, so like we actually bought some stuff when we were down there and like bought a cooler and put it because people up here couldn't get anything. So we actually were able to get some stuff and bring it home.
Stole all the toilet paper from the hotel. Yes.
Well, that's not
that fine one ply, right?
Yeah, that really upscale one ply.
That's funny.
Yeah, the last show I saw was actually Indiana had started to close, and Hairbanger's Ball was going to be, that's who I saw last, was going to be at a bar in Bloomington, Indiana, where IU is. And they ended up doing a thing where they were going to sell 150 tickets, and that was it. So I went, and my wife went, and it was a bar that only had 150 people, and it was weird. It was like a very small crowd compared to what they usually have. But at least we got to see something right before the whole thing closed up. So that was a good way to end it because that following, I don't know, maybe Monday or Tuesday, they pretty much shut it down. So we got right in at the nick of time, but I'm ready for some live shows though, man. I'm tired of this crap. Is there time to get out there and get rocking?
It was we had a break. That was our last scheduled show until the 1st of May. So, because we're actually, we had, yeah, that would have been, so we would have had all that time off anyways, and because we had a really big show here in Detroit. Was it the 28th coming up? May 28th, I think, or the 29th?
30th.
The 30th, okay. But we had a build. We had a bunch of builds, some stage stuff, props, and things like that. So we needed the time to build that stuff. So we hadn't, we didn't have anything booked then. So this past weekend was the first shows we would have actually missed. So far, that those two and then the 30th is postponed. So as of now, we've only lost three shows.
That's good timing, then. Good timing.
Yeah, it did work out, because usually, I mean, if this would have been, you know, like now, we would have been totally screwed because we've had all this other stuff stacked up in the summer.
Right.
How many shows do you guys? Oh, go ahead. I was going to ask the same question.
Go ahead. You already did. So,
how many shows do you guys do a year usually?
Crash.
Probably, I don't know, 35, 40 shows a year, somewhere in there. Some years are a little bit more busy. Things are getting busier for us, so it's increasing. But average is probably about 30.
You know, we're oddball in kind of the way we do things. We like everything we do it ass backwards and we do it our way. But we're like the king of the weekend warriors, because that's how we prefer to do our shows. You know, we don't really want to go out and be out for 2 months or whatever on tour. The big part of it is, you know, obviously jobs and things like that. But the real bigger reason is because we always do these different shows, these different eras. So we wouldn't really want to go out for 2 months and do the same show every time we play. Big part of what we do is every time we play, it's something different. It's a different show, a different set list and so forth. And when you go on tour like that, you can't bring everything. So that's a part of reason why we don't do a gazillion shows, because it's usually Fridays and Saturdays, sometimes Thursdays, and in the summer, during the week, we'll have, like, you know, festival things.
Sure. So you said, you know, see, you went from Michigan to Georgia. How far do you travel? I mean, it's basically in the whole continental United States, or
pretty much.
How far? I mean, you go to California and you go that far, or do you go far do you go?
We have.
Cool.
We when was it, Crash? 2016.
Yeah.
They out in California at the whiskey, they would do this annual show. They call it Crew Fest. It's a benefit show, a fundraiser for cancer, and Skylar Neal's name, Vince's daughter that died. And so that year, somebody recommended us, and they got a hold of us, and they wanted us to come out and do the show. So, and just not too long before that, I was talking to one of our former singers, and I told him, I was like, dude, I think the coolest thing that we could do as a crew tribute would be to headline the whiskey in Hollywood, right? So now we're getting called to go to the whiskey. So they get a hold of the guys. Well, what do you think? Oh, man. We tried to line up some stuff on the way, but at the time we were still pretty unknown, and we didn't have – the booking agent we had wasn't exactly the best. So really, we literally drove out to California. We took all our gear. They offered us backline, but we turned it down because we had to bring our stuff, our show, our stage show. So we had a truck. We rented a truck, and we drove the gear in a truck, and the rest of us drove in a car. We drove all the way to fucking Hollywood straight.
Wow.
Did the show, and then came all the way back.
One show.
We did the same thing in El Paso. Except they flew the band out. Go ahead.
That's what I was going to say. That was different, though, because they flew us out. We flew out on Friday, and we flew back in on Sunday. We were done.
Most of you out.
But, same thing. Yeah, we got backline, and we're like, no. No, we don't want – I mean, we did get the backline just to make them get it for us. But we still – and matter of fact, Precious, one of the backup singers, and our stage manager – hauled the gear all 1,700 fucking miles. They left like 2 days before we flew out, and so they got there like right before us. Wow. And our manager said we were insane, but we did it anyway.
Sometimes the journey is more fun than the, you know. Go ahead, Bill.
No, that's the guy I was going to say. It's about the experience. We're like in sync tonight. That's not normal.
No kidding.
At all.
I need to sleep right before our show every night.
One of the things that we had, you know, kind of made a point about with this band is that what we do, it's part sound and it's part visual. You know, obviously the music is first and foremost. You know, the music has to be good, has to be tight, but there's more to it. You know, being a tribute, you know, to Motley Crue of all bands, it's got to be the best it can be. So our thinking is, you know, we can't go out and do a big show and not bring the whole package. I mean, when they hire us, when they see us, they're like, oh, these guys are great, we want to hire them. They're hiring this thing, this whole package. So for us to go somewhere and just play on rented amps with nothing, that to me, that's lame, and that's a ripoff to me. You know, and so we do it. We bring our show every time. Now there are exceptions where we'll do like just a stripped down show, like if it's a small place or a benefit, where we'll just go up with amps and cabinets, but that's a whole different kind of thing. Normally I don't care what situation is, we bring it, you know.
Wouldn't it be the same old situation?
Other than a Kiss tribute, a Motley Crue tribute be your next one that has, like I said, you have to have that kind of backdrop. I mean, if you're a John Denver tribute, I mean, you could show up with your flannel shirt and an acoustic guitar, you know, and then as long as you knock the songs out, you're a good guy, you know, and you're great. But, you know, you're going to have to, or any other just kind of, you know, if you just name a band, you know, Foreigner, say you're a Foreigner tribute. Foreigner doesn't really have a backdrop, you know, they're playing the hits, playing the music, or Journey the same way. But the Crew, Kiss, and certain bands like that, you know, you've got a little bit of a, you do have to have a more of a backline to say, you know, per se. You have to have that effects or certain little things that people, oh, I remember that kind of stuff, you know.
Right. Well, like Six was saying, part of the thing about us bringing all of our own stuff is the fact Crew, after every album that they released, had a different stage show, they had different clothing, different guitars, every album. So we've got six different stage shows that we can do, and matching guitars, matching stage attire, the whole bit, you know, to give you the experience of what it was like to see Crew on 87 Girls, Girls, Girls tour, or the Carnival of Sin in 2003 or whatever. Yep. You know, so you know, that's a big part of it, like you said. And it's a really cool vehicle for us to be able to recreate that kind of stuff, because it really, you know, because we bring it to such a production level, it really makes us pop from the other bands. I mean, I know our band sounds really good. All the guys in the band are top-notch. We've all been playing for 3-5 years-ish, you know. All different bands, original bands, tribute bands, cover bands, you know. So we all have the experience. So the band itself sounds fantastic, but the show on top of it, it sets us on a different level, you know.
I watched some videos today. I was actually sitting on the garage and I was messing around and started pulling up some of your guys' videos on YouTube. And I was really impressed. I mean, number one, you know, you guys sound better, as good or better than Motley Crue does at the point, because, you know, we've seen them live and they're not that impressive, to be honest. Vince. But you know, I mean, otherwise, you know, your stage show looks good, your music sounds good, you guys got the music just nailed down. You know, the only thing I could see difference is you have a left-handed bass player, you know. But other than that, it is the same. I mean, it looks, you
well,
guys look
that good. That's his tribute to Paul McCartney.
There you go. But no, I mean, you know, other than that, it looks good. Your instrument wise, and your sound wise, you guys nailed it. It's really good. Wait, I enjoy it.
You know, if I would have, there was a time, a short lived time where I had like this Guns N' Roses tribute. So that meant I had two basses, and those are the two basses I would ever have. And yeah, there you go. And that was it. You know what I mean? And that was it. With Wrecking Crew, every time we decide to do a new era, it usually means a minimum of two new bases, if not three or four. And being left-handed, that means custom. There's no going buying
right.
it. There's either buying something and modifying it, or taking a right-handed base and having it reversed, or in some cases, a complete custom build. So I've got like over a dozen bases that are just for Wrecking Crew for that purpose. And, you know, I always said I want to try out, eventually I'd like to be able to learn a song, you know, right-handed and come out in the middle of the show with a right-handed bass and play it and just see if anybody even knows. And I'm gonna do it, you know? I try it, and I'm going to do it.
You talk about doing different eras. When you're doing the Shout at the Devil, are you focusing mainly on material from Shout at the Devil and Too Fast for Love, or do you still do stuff from every era, but you dress the Shout at the Devil part?
Crash?
We pretty much try to keep it era specific to what crew would do on tour that year in 83 when crew Shout came out. That's what you'll get at our show as well. So try to take you right back to that time. Now we do stretch it a little bit. You got to figure out a lot of times bands, when they're on the road, they write songs. So, and you used Shout as an example. We may stretch it into the album that was preceded that or came after that, which would be Theater of Pain. So we may do a couple songs off of Theater of Pain, but like Six always says, his perfect example is to be dressed in all the spikes and straps and all that stuff and singing Girl Don't Go Away Mad. It just doesn't match up, you know.
Right.
That's why we like to keep it specific.
I like that.
When we decide on, when we start a new era, okay, we'll say, for example, we're talking about the Shout Tour. When we first started doing that, first thing we did is pull up set lists that they did on that tour. And they're slightly different over the course from the beginning to the end of the tour. For the most part, they're the same song. So we would take their set list and write that out. Now, here's the thing. Crew had a lot of dead time between their songs. They stretched their songs out a lot, and they had Vince did a lot of talking between songs. So they might play 10 songs. Okay, we can't get away with that. People aren't going to tolerate that from us. Even as it is, I talk to them. So what we'll do is we take that as the skeleton, kind of like what Crash is saying, and then we fill it in. And like you said, we'll fill it in with songs from the first two albums because that's what they were doing. But usually it's not enough. It's not enough songs to fill 90 minutes and sometimes even 120 minutes. So in that case, Louder Than Hell is one because originally that was Hotter Than Hell, and that was originally going to be on Shout at the Devil, something like that. Or, you know, earlier songs like Stick to Your Guns or something like that, you know, that wasn't necessarily in that rotation. And we might throw Smoking in the Boys' Room at the end of the encore because that's the big known song. But generally speaking, we keep it to that era. When we get to stuff like Dr. Feelgood, it's kind of wide open because that was later and all the other stuff came before it. If you have something like, say, off New Tattoo or Saints of Los Angeles, that's okay because it fits right in with it anyways. So once we get to those points where we're doing Carnival or Dr. Feelgood, it's wide open. But we still follow generally the kind of set, how they opened it, how they closed it, you know, the drum solos, the guitar solos, those kinds of things. When we did Theater of Pain, that has been our hardest one because we like do that show almost exactly the fuck. I mean, the Crash, he was the taskmaster, because when they did that tour, they did different versions of the songs. Like there was like this big intro to the beginning of PC Reaction. There was a breakdown in Looks to Kill, and so we had to learn these different versions just for that show.
So how many hours do you guys, still practice periodically? I mean, are you getting together? Do you do that at all? Or is it just you practice on your own and then put it together at the show?
We practiced about 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah. We get about three practices a year, maybe, you know, four. Especially real important stuff's coming up. We'll scram a practice in. But three of us are up here in Michigan. Our drummer's in Ohio. He's about 3 hours away from us. So generally, At this point, we've got about 70 crew songs we can play, but we are still adding, believe it or not. But when we have something new that we want to add, or a different version, like Six was saying, different arrangement or something, everybody learns it at home. We try it at soundcheck, and once it sounds good at soundcheck, sometimes we'll just plug it into the show that night. You know, if it feels real good at soundcheck and everybody gets a boner from it, then it's a go.
Yeah,
that's a good gauge to use, probably.
The girls like it. I don't know.
Unless you're Bill and you're like going, well, okay, yeah
whatever. I'm not mediocre. Sitting in my underwear.
It's mediocre, you know.
Mm-hmm. Not
the
what
song
she said.
Animal and Me is a great example of what he's talking about, because that was on. We'll make a to-do list and we'll have like six songs, and then we start working on them. And then something comes up and we have to learn songs for this show. And then something else comes up and we have to learn different ending. You know. So that song got pushed back for like a year and a half. So finally we said, all right, fuck this. We're doing the song. We learned it. Everybody came. We learned it. We came to sound check. We played it. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of rough. So we played it again the next night. Yeah, still kind of rough. We came back a couple weeks later. We played it again at sound check. Sounded good. All right, fuck it. Right. It was already in the set list. And then that's how it goes. Because before we had our singer right now, Vinny, the guy we had then also lived down in Ohio. And so when he joined the band, yeah, dude, I'll be there every week. Then we never saw him again. So what we started doing is we started rehearsing with no vocals. And we would do it. At the time, Toby, our drummer, still lived in Michigan. So we would rehearse every week, sometimes twice a week. And we would either have no vocals at all, or like me or Crash would just kind of do a horrible screeching thing to kind of get the song going, you know what I mean? But it made us so tight. We did this for, I don't know, at least 6 months, at least. And we got so tight musically that we really didn't need rehearsals anymore, because we just like all know, you know, what the other guy's going to do. We know how the other guy plays, and, you know, and we're professional about it. So we know our shit. We come in and we nail it.
But it would be nice
to rehearse.
So the core group itself, how long have you guys been together? I mean, as far as running the show.
You joined early 15, right?
Yep. My first show was February of 15.
Okay. Toby was a couple months, not maybe a month and a half, 2 months maybe after you. Wasn't that long.
Yeah, his first show was in April. I'm the second guitar player from Wrecking Crew. There was one time. Me for about what, 6 months? Six days.
He did two shows. He did two shows, and then, you know, it didn't work out. And
just like the movie, I came in and kicked his ass out.
I'm the guitar player, you just leave.
We actually I started the band in August of 14. We did a show. We did two shows in October 14. And then we had a show in January, I think. And like a week before I had to play, we had to do this show. We had a contract and everything. The guitar player and the singer both left the band. So wow. Fortunately, I had a guy lined up as a singer. And I got a guy to fill in on guitar. We did the show anyways. And then a week later, Crash came out, auditioned, and he killed it. He nailed it. So he was in. And then the drummer we had, our original drummer, he started having some health issues and he had to step down. So we got a replacement and he was a train wreck. So our manager says, hey, man, I know this guy. He would be perfect. So I call him up, hey, what's up, blah, blah, blah. He's like, all right, yeah, dude, I'll come on. I give him five songs. And so he comes up, and he's all quiet, and he's setting up. I said, yeah, so we got a show this weekend. So, you know, if this goes good, we'll bring you back next week, and we'll jam some more. And he played those five songs, and he killed it. He totally destroyed him, which this was Toby. So I looked at him. I'm like, yeah, fuck that. You're doing the show. That's it. And so he's like, okay. So he learned the whole set by Saturday and did the show, and – I don't know when the hell Vinny joined the band. Crash?
He's been in two, 3 years now, 2 years.
Is it? This will be the third summer. He joined in the summer, right? Or the fall.
He joined at the beginning of the year.
Beginning of the year, right.
Yeah, we started him in January. I don't know. This is starting to be a blur. Dude, we just celebrated 5-year anniversary. So there's been a couple singers prior to the one we have now, and this guy's not going anywhere. If this guy leaves, I think we're done.
Well, don't let him hear you say that.
Be nice to him, Six.
Yeah, okay.
No, you know what? He's a good guy, man. This guy does not have lead singer disease at all. He's awesome.
Just keep him away.
I try to bring him a chair, and he never wants to sit down. So I mean, you know.
Well, that's a good point, right there. Keep him in shape to where he doesn't balloon.
Oh, you know what?
Round is a shape.
Like Crash said, he's our four singer. And with this band, the philosophy was, we want it to be as good as it can be. If we're gonna go up here and represent Motley Crue, because that's what we're doing. In the end, that's what we're doing. We're going to, as we say, pay tribute to it. How can we do a shitty half-ass job? Well, that being said, we can't have people coming in, doing dumb shit, not playing the stuff right, not singing it right, not, being a part of what's happening here, trying to make it the best it can be. So we'd have to find new guys, and that's just the way it went. But with the guys, the core we've had these guys, me, Toby, and Crash, we've been together, like 4 years now. And so that's the music, Vinny comes in, he nails it. He plays, we even got him playing guitar. I don't even think he played guitar before we started to kick him in the ass, did he?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, we're like, so Dig, Vince played guitar on a couple songs, Same Old Situation, Don't Go Away Mad, Without You. So it was like, well, here's a guitar and here's the pedal. You need to learn these songs. Okay. And he does. So he'll come up and he'll play those. And he actually does play it. It's live. And he'll play guitar on those songs. And he does a good job. So shit. What more can you ask?
When you guys decide that you're going to do an era, how long do you stick with that era before you move to a different album?
It can go. We could play one era on Friday and the next era on a different era on Saturday. If we're on the road in the trailers, then we can do them back to back like that. We don't. That's why we don't go on the road for a couple months at a time, because we like to come back home, switch stuff up. We kind of screwed ourselves in that aspect, because had we just started with one era and did that for a year and then switched to another era and did it, we would have saved ourselves a lot of work. But now, since we've got these different eras, when we go, say we come to Indiana this summer, we're going to do, I think we're doing, what are we doing? Carnival. Six? All right, so we're going to do Carnival in Indiana this year in the summer. When we come back into that area, we're not bringing Carnival. We're going to bring Girls or Feel Good, say, or Theater of Pain, whatever. One of the ones you haven't seen in Indiana yet.
Yeah, so, I knew you were bringing Carnival because I saw the ad for it on Facebook, because y'all are going to be at Lincoln Amphitheater here in the next couple of months. And I'm not at work, and assuming that the show doesn't get canceled, I have every intention of being there.
Nice.
When we get some, our booking agent will throw an offer at us. So we scope it out. We look at where it's at. We look at the venue. We'll pull up the venue, look at pictures of the stage. Well, how big? Because everything that all what we do depends on all these things. What's the capacity of the room? How big is the stage? How high? How deep? What kind of situation? How far is it? Is it our first time? Is it a repeat? If it's our first time, we're not going to bring our biggest show. That we're going to bring a good show, but we're not going to bring the best show we have for the first time. If it's a smaller place, but it's a cool place, obviously we can't bring a big show. So we might have to start with something smaller. We look at all these different factors, and then like Crash says, we say, well, did we play in this area recently? Okay, well, we played 50 miles away last year. Well, what did we do? We did Carnival. Well, we can't do Carnival because people are going to come see us again, and we don't want to repeat ourselves if we can avoid it, you know? So that's a big, that's how that works for us. It's always each show, you know, it's a show by show basis, is like you said. And we've done them where we've had fit two different shows into the truck, because some of the stuff is interchangeable, some of the stage props and structure and stuff. And then we even have different versions of the same show. Oh, Crash, man, he's the guy behind all this shit, I swear.
We've even done two different stage shows in one night. So we'll start out with the early thing with the candelabras and the skulls on the pikes and stuff, and we'll play the first couple albums and then peel that away, and behind it will be the whole Girls, Girls, Girls stage show. And the second half of the show will be all Girls, Girls, and Feel Good and that kind of stuff.
Now that would be fucking fantastic to see.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Cool.
It's crazy how we do that. We did that with the early era and Shout at the Devil too. We did the same thing. We had the whole early stuff and the outfits and the guitars, and then the curtain changed. Our crew switched it all over real quick. We changed our outfits and it came out in the Shout at the Devil stuff. Shit, we did a show. Was it at the Token Lounge up here in Michigan? Five year anniversary, dude. We did like four songs from each era that we do. We stepped off for like 2 minutes or something. The crew changed it. We changed our clothes and we came out and did the next era. And we did this the whole damn show like that. It was freaking crazy.
That's pretty cool. Bill, you're muted.
I am.
He was all right, sneezing.
So, anyway, say if you have a person that calls you up and says, hey, you know, I need you guys to come up here and play. Now, not bearing, it can do any show, whatever. If it was your choice, what's going to be your show you're going to bring? Just your favorite one to play. That's what I'm asking. You know, if you come up here, it's like, okay, it's our choice. Which one are we going to bring?
It depends on when you ask. Because. Okay. You know, I think overall, my favorite is probably Girls, and I think Crash will probably agree with me, but it depends. Like, there was a point where we didn't do Shout shows. I think we did one in the whole year. So we were like, you know, I really want to do some Shout shows and some early era shows, because we were doing Carnival and Girls, you know, and we were working on Feel Good. So then we did a few Shout shows, and I was like, oh, man, I don't know if I want to do anymore, because these boots and the spikes.
Right.
It's a difficult show to do.
Right.
But and if you would have asked me then, I would have said Shout. But right now I would probably say Girls or Carnival. Yeah. It's a toss-up.
That's cool. It's a fluid thing. I mean, it's like you said, it's one of those things you just can't. This is not my absolute favorite, but it's right now. That's what I would do.
You know what? For me, it's like he said, the Shout show, because of all the straps and the pointy guitars. I got 5-inch heel boots, all that stuff. It's really a difficult to perform. The songs are fantastic. That part is not an issue. It's the physical aspect of all the apparatuses and everything that you have going on.
Trying not to fall over, yeah.
Yeah,
just not falling over
in the boots or whatever. But with crew, Girls is really not my favorite. Girls is really not my favorite album, you know. But when I first got in the band, that's really kind of the first show that we built. And it's actually the most comfortable. It's where we're most at home. It's the most rock and roll, jeans and leather kind of thing that we do. So it's really comfortable, relaxed. It's a good party, fun show to do. I think people dig it. You know? So probably Girls. Going to a new area, Girls is what we'll take first. It's a good representation, you know.
Cool. Have you guys had any interaction with anybody from Motley Crue or management or anything like that about the tribute work you're doing? And
well, they haven't sued us, so that's a plus.
Well, I mean, not even from that perspective. I mean, people may get some good feedback and say, you know, keep
doing
it.
I, I have heard probably three or four times from different people that they heard Nikki Six mention us when he had Sixth Sense. Supposedly he had mentioned us. And then supposedly even Gene Simmons had made positive reference to us. But I've actually offered to pay people to prove it to me. And I've never seen, I've never heard it. I've never seen a clip, anything where he ever mentioned us specifically in any way. Now I do know that Vince Neil is aware of us. And I only know this because one of the people on our crew actually got into a dialogue with him on Twitter and put the links in. So I know he saw him, but he never said anything. So as far as the guys in the band, I have no idea one way or the other, but McSun likes us. You know, that's all. That was a crash thing there. That was so freaking, that was one of the coolest things that happened to us, actually.
So tell that story. What happened there?
Tell him, Craig. Oh.
All right. So McSun Les, his name is Les Paul. He lives down in Kentucky. We were going down there. I'm friends with him on Facebook. I didn't want to bug the guy, like, hey, man, you know, let me meet your dad or anything like that. I've been respectful to the guy. We're just kind of friends. He builds custom guitars. Him and his buddy Mike build custom guitars. So anyway, we're going down to Kentucky. I invited him to the show. I said, if you want to come, you know, we'll get you in. We won't publicize it on Facebook or nothing. You know, just come and hang out. So he showed up, him and his partner, and they brought a couple custom guitars for us to check out and hung backstage with us. And then we actually got him to sit in and play with the band. They played play Girls, 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 right? Yeah, with McSun. So
that's cool. That's, you know, very cool.
Yeah, he's been you know, very supportive of us and stuff. And you know, I don't push that relationship, our relationship with him, towards his dad or nothing. I figure if he wants to tell his dad, he'll tell his dad, you know.
Yeah, so Mick's kind of
today's his birthday, by the way, Mick.
Yeah, I saw that. Mick's kind of he lives in Nashville. I know there's a lot of people, we go down there quite a bit, and we hang out with a lot of podcasters from Nashville that, you know, they know the scene and know a lot of these people. And it's one of those things where Mick lives down there and people know he lives down there, but he just doesn't socialize like most people do. You know, he's just kind of sticks to himself, and he has his own, he does his own thing, and people let him do his own thing. So that's kind of, you know, that's cool.
Yeah. That's probably why he's there. Cause he can do that, you know?
Yeah.
I was kind of, when we did that and we talked him into coming up, it was awesome, but it sucked at the same time because I really wanted Crash to be up there, but you know, we didn't have, he probably had the means to do it, but knowing how Crash is, he was like, go ahead. So I got to jam with him. You know, we're right there face to face jamming this, you know, his dad's song. I mean, he had to be on the side. I would have preferred him to be up there with us, because that was just, what a freaking memory. You know, I mean, we talked with him a lot too before the show, you know, and we're, you know, he was telling us all these freaking stories and, you know, about Mick, you know, and we're thinking, you know, this is, so for us, he was nervous, man. He was freaking nervous of going up and playing. And we're like, dude, this is, we're like, oh shit, this is his dad's song. And of course he grew up with this stuff. He was there. He was at the shows. He was back. Fuck, he was probably there when Mick was writing a lot of this stuff and recording it, you know? And we're up here playing this, you know? But he was freaking nervous. He didn't even want to get up there for that reason. But man, it was freaking, he killed it too. He killed it.
Good deal.
That's a good story, man. That's one you'll take with you for a long time. That's pretty cool.
We played in Georgia. Our last two shows were at the same place. Refresh my memory where that was.
37 Main.
37 Main. Now, the dude, I don't know if was he the stage man. He was the lighting guy, the video guy. He was the video guy. They were doing video there. But we got to talking to him, and he has a production company, and they did the production for the final Motley Crue show when they did their last, well, up until now, the final show, when they played in LA, that very last show, and they did the DVD. So his company did that. So he says, yeah, man. So I told Nikki about you guys, and he sent a clip, and he busts out his phone, and he's like, yeah, he said, these guys are freaking awesome. It takes me back to the 80s and rock on. I'm like, So that would be the most accurate thing right there.
That's cool.
Pretty cool.
I'll be glad. Hopefully, like I said, hopefully this all this crap will end and we can get some concerts and shows going back. Because, like I say, if you guys are going to be up here at Lincoln Amphitheater, I'm going to definitely try to catch that show.
Well, it is on a Saturday.
Well, of course,
August, it is. August 1st, right?
Yeah.
That sounds correct.
Yeah.
I haven't lost.
We'll definitely try to hook up. We'll go up and we'll hook up with you and at least say hi.
You know, the one of the funny things about this band is that a lot of the things that happen that we do aren't contrived. It's not like we don't plan it out, you know, like the way our personalities are and the kind of goofy things that happen. Like, I'll give you a great example. This is going to be great. So, all right. So Ozzy took Motley Crue out on their first big tour in 83, right? And it was the Shot of the Devil tour. So Motley Crue, they're wild and crazy and full bore, right? So then Ozzy, you know, he brings Sharon out, right? And she's like, no, boys, there's not going to be any fun. It was so anytime Sharon was around, Ozzy was like, you know, sorry, guys. And he would go off to the hotel. And as soon as Sharon would fly back home, he'd come in, all right, let's go. And it was on, right? Then she would come back and she put all those rules and you can't do this. And so they actually made shirts for the No Fun tour. So we got Debbie, who's, can I see you? Are you there, Debbie? I know you're lurking. There she is. So she's a member of the band. You know, she's one of the backup vocalists. But she also handles a vast majority of the business side of things, or at least a lot of it. The bookings, the paperwork, you know, the shit that us musicians don't really want to do. And she can get real tyrannical, I like to think. So she has morphed into our Sharon. We're like, hey, we're gonna go over here. No, boys, you really, but come on. No. And it sucks.
Gotta keep them in line.
You do. You have to have a governor. You mean you like if an engine goes by itself, it's just gonna blow up. You
know,
you
guys didn't intend to have Sharon, but it worked out that way. You
know, oh, that's cool.
We follow a lot of parallels to Motley Crue without even intending it. I guess it's just because we're just act. You know, a lot of tribute bands that I've experienced aren't even fans of the music that they're playing.
Kind of fans.
If that. I mean, I you know, I know there was one band in particular, they showed up to load in, and I didn't even know who these guys, I'm like, who are these guys? You know, they looked like they just came from the golf course or something, right? And then they put their gear and all their wigs on. I'm like, oh, that's the opening band. Okay. Or they might have even been headlining. I think we were opening for them at that point. And then there's other bands that I know like that too. It's like this, they're like this corporate thing. You know, a lot of these guys, they see there's dollar signs. You know, you can't make money in original music. You know, cover bands never really make any money. So, hey, tribute bands are making money. So they put on this image and they go out and play this stuff. But they're not even really fans. You know, I know a guy who has a Guns N' Roses tribute band. And he told me, he's like, yeah, I'm not really the biggest Guns N' Roses fan. Like, dude, the whole reason this started is just because I was a fan. That's all. Wouldn't it be fun to go play some Motley Crue music? That's all.
I totally get that.
That's cool.
Awesome. Well, tell our audience where they can find you online.
Let's see.
Find it right there. There you go. Look at that.
There you go.
He was ready for that.
There it is.
So for those who are listening, because this is audio and video, that's facebook.com/wreckingcrew, WrekingCrue, or wreckingcrewdetroit.com.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And it's wrecking.
Instagram too, and a couple other things, but those are the main ones.
Well, I'm sure that you can find those links on the main website, correct?
Correct. Yeah. And you know, we're very hands-on with what we do. You know, if you send a message. We're
pretty fast about answering my, hey, I'd like to have you on the show. Let's do it.
Well, we like talking to people, and we like, you know, you know, we like getting our name out there, and we just like to hang out. You know, when we go to shows, when we're playing, we're hanging out too. We're, you know, we don't like lock ourselves away and, you know, we can't be bothered and all that crap. You know, we're just musicians, you know, and we're just having fun.
Amen to that.
When it comes to Facebook or any of that stuff, you know, we handle that. We manage that. We administrate it, all of us. So you send a message on there, all the band is going to see it. And, you know, one or the other is going to answer it depending on what it is. That's just the way we are. You know, we like to be involved and we like to do things ourselves. You know,
that
way
I think for the most part, fans appreciate that.
Well, like Ozzy says, without the fans, we're nothing, right? It's true.
It's what Gene says too, but it's, I think what he means is without the fans money, we're nothing.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's 100% of what he means.
Unless you're lined up buying something that I'm selling
unless
you
right buying,
now.
Unless you're buying a logo somewhere.
Well, you know, the funny thing about it is we make good money doing what we do, but we reinvest or spend almost all of it. It's like, oh, well, we need this and we should get that. And what if we got that? And how about if we, you know, right. And so every time we make anything, it's freaking gone just to make it better, you know? So that's when good, people though. Come out, right. I don't know what Motley Crue is going to do on the stadium tour. Nobody knows what they're going to do. But what I do know is they're not going to do an 87 girls show. They're not going to do an 83 Shout show. They're not going to do an 85 Theater of Pain. They're not going to do a Dr. Feelgood show, Carnival Sin show.
Or maybe they'll do. Maybe they'll do a 94 show.
You know,
it might be better off. You never know.
Motley Crue has shown that they're not a nostalgia. They're not. They don't care. I mean, like Nicky, all his old bases, he doesn't care. He throws them away. He sells them. He gives them away. So if you want to go see Crue, that's awesome. Go support him and go see him. Cool. But if you want to see the old stuff, you know, your memories, the things that you've seen in the best, or you're young, a lot of the younger kids now, there's like, man, I know wasn't alive. I didn't get to see that stuff. Well, that's what we do. That's our purpose.
Well, I was alive, but I was always grounded. So.
Well, I was alive and I got to go. So
no, I lived in a hick town. I got to see the 84 tour and I got
when
to see
people
the final
come
tour.
To our shows and they tell us that it took them back and it's like, man, it was like being there and all the old memories and the good times, and they forget about all the shit. I mean, that's to us, that's the greatest that could possibly be.
Exactly. I did notice that Vinny too, when we were watching the videos, Vinny actually sings, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was actually really.
That was
not only is it singing, but he actually, every word that comes out,
you can understand it. It's amazing. It's like the old days.
I know. That guy, he's the perfect band member because, you know, he does an excellent job. But if he slacks off about in a way, we you know, let him know, and he's like, okay, cool. You know, I had a guy who was like, I don't do that, and I paid my dues, and I don't go on at 11 o'clock. It was like, the fuck? Vinny is—he's the man. You know, he's the man. He comes in and he delivers it 100%. He'll unload the trailer, set up. He helps wiring with the lighting and stuff. He'll kick ass on stage, and then he'll help with the crew at the end of the night packing up the show, and then we'll go do it again the next day. Cause he's awesome. The only problem is, he's kind of like me and Crash, we're Nikki and Mick. So Crash isn't even supposed to be here because Mick is the elusive one, right?
Right.
This should be Toby up here, but Toby's our Mick. He's the elusive one. He doesn't like to talk. And Vinny literally is always into some shit. He's always somewhere, some party, some beach, he's really hard to nail down. Unless it's a show or rehearsal. I mean, he's just – so that leaves us – you know, we're the ones stuck doing it.
So here
– something in about Vinny. Vinny's our yes man. I could look at Vinny and go, okay, we're going to go play this mud puddle, and you're going to play this – you're going to sing in a pink G string. He'd be like, all right.
when do we leave?
I mean, he's that guy.
He's on eBay looking for stuff for costumes.
Okay, here's a big question, though. Can Toby honk his boat horn with his penis? Can he do that?
Why do you want to know that? Says the man with no pants. Because
Tommy can, and that's a very impressive. I don't care what you do. If you can honk your boat horn with your dick, that's pretty good.
Well, that would be a better
question. When you see it, you can't get it out of your head. I'm sorry.
I guess that would be a question for management, because we're supposed to know.
We'll just leave it at maybe. How's that?
That guy. I played with a lot of drummers, and that dude, I have never played with someone that is so freaking loud. It's unbelievable how that dude destroys. I mean, literally, he destroys those drums for an hour and a half, 2 hours. It's unbelievable, honestly.
That's good.
Cool.
Good deal.
When Six was talking about when we auditioned him, he came over, and I knew his reputation from around town. He had played in some pretty, successful bands. But anyway, I didn't know him personally, but I knew of him. So he brings in his gear and he sets it down and he puts his bass drum on and he just starts stomping on that bass drum. And it was so damn loud, just a couple kicks. I looked over at Six and I'm like, this is our dude, man. I know. We really didn't even have to try him out. You know? And I knew he was pro. Yeah. And started playing, it was great.
And like a week later, he's like, hey guys, I got a new custom drum kit on the way. Not I bought a drum kit, I've got a custom that I ordered kit on the way.
Wow.
So
great.
Wow. Well, cool.
Well, hopefully we'll get to see you guys in August. I hope everything's
back to halfway normal, and if you guys are gonna be there, make sure you hit us up and
we will
bring you backstage and whole nine yards.
Sure. We'll definitely do that.
Alan,
you're on mute.
Of course I am. I have to be muted half the time.
if I don't
need the mic, you hear my whiny dog.
He sounds like Darth Vader. He's over here going.
Anyway, I think that's probably a good place for us to end this show. Hang out, guys, for a second while I take us out of here.
Okay.
All right. Don't forget, folks, visit us, agentsofrock.com. Find all of our Twitter and Instagram and all of that good stuff. And until next time, peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.